Smith. The Honorable Jean M. Cochran presiding.
Good morning. You may be seated. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We're just going to take a minute to get settled here and then we'll get going. So I'm just going to go over a few kind of procedural housekeeping items and then you can proceed with your arguments. We are recording the oral arguments here today, and the recording will be available on our website tomorrow or the next day. Usually it's available within 24 hours. So for purposes of the recording, today is April 20th, 2023. We have three cases on our calendar today. The first case is A22-1208. In the matter of Anoka County versus Kadar Hersey. Appellant, you will have 15 minutes for your initial argument, then respondent will have 15 minutes for their argument, followed by 5 minutes of rebuttal for appellant. At the start of your argument, if you could please introduce yourself and the party you represent for purposes of the recording, we would appreciate that. Also, let us know if you have a preference as to how we address you during the argument this morning. The podium is adjustable, and there is also a clock on the podium, so you can see how much time you have remaining in your argument. And with that, counsel for appellant, you can proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Michael Kane, spelled C-A-I-N. On behalf of the appellant, Kadar, K-A-D-A-R, Hersey, H-E-R-S-I. This matter began as a child care assistance overpayment, and the Hersey family, under the rules, was required to report changes to their income as a condition of continued qualification for the program. The allegations were that from January to March in 2020, the Hersey family.
I hate to interrupt you, but it's not disputed that they didn't report properly.
That's correct, Your Honor.
The real issue is whether it's fair to have them pay when they didn't have their children in the child care, even though they had a spot.
That's pretty much
the gist of it.
That's correct.
Okay, tell me why it's unfair.
Your Honor, the statute requires that that Anoka County, in this case, prove that the Hersey family is the correct party. It is also possible under the statute that Anoka County could have recovered the overpayments from the provider. It is our contention that attendance at the child care facility during those dates in question would be required in order to prove an essential element of Anoka County's case. Anoka County.
And is that because that's the only way a benefit can be conferred to the family? That they actually attended?
I think the record is deficient of that, and so it may not be the only way, but it has to be proven that there was a benefit to them, and by virtue of there not being anything in the record that attendance was, that the family attended on those days, therefore the record is completely deficient, and it required the courts to guess as to whether or not the family actually benefited.
Why isn't holding a spot for the children a benefit to the family? And I'll just, in full disclosure, when you have children and you put them in a child care facility, they have a spot there. And even if the children don't go there, you still have that spot, and the child care facility can't fill that spot with any other child. And that's a benefit to the family because they have a place where if they want to send their children, they can do that because they've reserved the spot. So why isn't that a quote-unquote benefit?
It is our position that the benefit is not that that the overpayment is not related to that benefit, and that the benefit is their benefit of them holding that spot is just by virtue of eligibility for the program and also acceptance by the particular provider of that family's spots. And so if there was an overpayment, it's not the benefit to the Hersey family would be that they were getting care and they didn't have to pay full price for that care. That is our position.
So would you agree that the record reflects that the county made payments to the child care facility during the relevant time period?
Yes.
And your argument is essentially that even though the county made payments on behalf of those children during that time period, the family didn't benefit because the children weren't, there isn't evidence that the children were actually at the child care facility. Is that correct?
That's correct. And it's possible that the children were not at the, if the children were not at the child care center, that the program would not pay the provider. For example, if the family was in violation of the attendance portion of the program, if they had missed 10 consecutive days in a row, then the program doesn't pay for those services. If the family had 25 absences in 1 year, then the program doesn't pay for those services.
So does the fact that the record reflects that the program was paying for the children during that period give rise to an inference that the children were actually at the facility during that time?
No.
No.
Could have been billed for. They may have billed them absent. Maybe that was not properly billed. There should have been evidence in the record to suggest not only attendance, but proper billing for that. And therefore, and that record was deficient of those facts. And so I don't believe that just by virtue of the fact that the program paid Lucky Child Care, that doesn't infer attendance.
I have a hypothetical for you. Let's assume there's a family who is receiving a child care benefit under the program. They're properly enrolled. They have two small children attending ABC daycare. The mother has a third child and goes on maternity leave and decides to keep the children home for 6 weeks while the mother's on maternity leave, and then, but in the meantime, the county still keeps paying for those two children. Has the family, and if the, to keep the spots for those two children, once the mother goes back off of maternity leave, the family would need to pay for those spots. So in that instance, is the family receiving a benefit from the child care assistance program by having those spots paid for while the mother's on maternity leave to reserve the spots?
I think one may consider that to be a benefit, but I don't think it's a benefit that this statute was designed to recover overpayments for. I think the benefit here is the payment of the money, not the reservation of a spot.
You indicated that if there are 10 days of absences, that the child care facility doesn't bill. Is that accurate?
They may bill for absences, but the program doesn't pay for that. They don't.
Anoka County wouldn't pay for it if they were absent for 10 days?
10 consecutive days.
And you're saying the children weren't there at all during this period?
I'm saying the record needed to reflect whether the children were there, and therefore the court could have made a ruling given that information as to whether or not the Hersey family was the proper party to recover those payments, or if they should have recovered those payments directly from the childcare, because the payment was made and it shouldn't have been, because the family was in violation of the attendance policy.
How did the child, sorry, did you?
No, go ahead.
How did the childcare facility benefit in a way that would allow recoupment under the statute from the childcare facility? I understand your argument to be the county's basically going after the wrong party.
Well, in this case, it could have been, and I'm not saying that Anoka County needed to go after the provider, but they could have if the evidence in this case, and I'm not saying that it was, I'm saying that there was no evidence in, of this nature for the judge to use in the decision, but that if the payment was made and the children did not attend, but they were ineligible to be, those days were ineligible for the payment, then the provider was paid for those days, and they benefited by getting more money than they should have because they didn't provide services for those days.
If the children were not there, whose responsibility is it to present that to the trial court and raise that as a defense?
So Judge Freeman, in his decision on reconsideration, suggested that that could be relevant, but that it was an affirmative defense and that was not an essential element. So suggesting that in this case it would have been the Hersey family who would have had to have said, my children were not there, and there, and therefore we're not the proper party.
Do you agree with that?
I disagree.
And why do you disagree?
I think the statute requires the county to prove that the Hersey family was the correct party, and then it does not require an affirmative defense to say that you're not proving an essential element of your claim, which is subdivision 2A under 119B.11.
I cannot that, help, but, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So even if we agree with you about the burden of persuasion under 256.0451, it really comes down to the definition of benefited. Would you agree with that? And whether there's, whether the evidence of payment to the facility is enough to show a benefit to the family.
Yes. Yes.
Counsel, I cannot help but wonder if we agree with you technically that there needed to be some evidence of the children's presence at the daycare facility. I mean, this wasn't a mystery at the proceedings below, and there was no evidence presented by anybody about the child's presence. So if we send it back, I mean, if the children were not there, and I believe you know if the children were not there, then we're just doing this process all over again. So I'm wondering what, I mean, what's the end game here? Are we going back to establish that the children were actually present?
Yes, and I think that Anoka County and any county, as a matter of practice, if they're going to ask for an overpayment from the family, it should be in their appeal summary, and it should be a seminal portion of what they have to prove, that there is, in fact, attendance, that that attendance was properly billed for, and that the reimbursement from the program to the provider was proper reimbursement. And after that, if they could show that the children were there, then I think, sure, it's pretty clear that it benefited the family. But because they didn't, now we have this unknown.
But is it really unknown? I mean, we know if the children weren't. I mean, I think you all know if the children were there. We don't, because we don't have it on the record.
I think that was Anoka County's job to do, and they didn't do it.
Fair. All right. I understand.
So when I look at the dictionary definition of benefit, it's an advantage or profit gained from something. That's one definition that's out there. And why isn't reserving a spot, paying for a spot for the children at the facility, an advantage to the family when they were enrolled at this facility?
Because I think Because I think this deals with specific days, right? And specific days in which the requirements for reporting income were not met by the Hersey family, and so the overpayment is related specifically to those days and not this global kind of idea that they're holding a spot. Otherwise, I'm not sure if there would ever be a scenario where, should Anoka County decide, they could always decide to collect against the family instead of trying to recover the overpayment from the provider. And so the Hersey family's argument is that there is just simply the record, it's unsupported by substantial evidence, and that Judge McCarthy, when she affirmed Judge Freeman's principles in the request for reconsideration, they made that leap without having the evidence in the file. And they also, they commented about avoiding potential debt to the child care center. And I think that's speculative in nature too. I'm not sure exactly what they meant by avoiding potential debt, but I think Judge Freeman kind of understood that attendance does matter, and they need to close the loop in their proceedings in order to properly collect against the family. Because of that, and I see my time is up, but because of that, we believe that you should reverse Judge McCarthy's decision, and thank you.
Thank you. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Counsel, for a respondent, you can proceed when you're ready.
May it please the court. Counsel, I'm Kelsey Kelly, and I represent Anoka County in this matter. The appellant's contention today that attendance is required to show a benefit of the party is unsupported by any statute and any case law. The record shows in this matter that Mr. Hersey failed to comply with his obligation to report whether or not he was working, that those spots were held for the children, that it benefited the family and the children.
So let's jump to the evidence.
Sure.
Because I think that's the main issue here. Is there substantial evidence in the record to show that the family benefited from these payments during the relevant time period? And in your brief on page 14, you assert that the family, that the child care center continued to receive child care assistance payments on behalf of the children. The children continued to have spots at the child care. The children could attend at any time if they had their spots, and the child care center could not give up the spots. But I don't see a citation to any evidence in the record to support that. So what evidence is there in the record to support your contention that the family benefited under the standard set forth in the statute?
Your Honor, I think that it would require piecing together some testimony from Linda Heipel, which is she was a witness for the county and a social worker, in addition to some of the briefing that was received from the county. And I do think it requires knowing, I think, some basic information about the way child care payments work, maybe was
so
not blatant.
So can you point us to that testimony?
Your Honor, I cannot. I do not have the whole transcript with me. I think that it is possible that because the DHS judge and everyone who is in the room is so familiar with the way payments work that perhaps they didn't break it down. But I think that it is well known that the way child care works is that you have to reserve a spot for a child. You can't just come and go as you please.
Well, this is a special kind of child care situation. I mean, it's not a typical private child care facility that's paid for out of pocket by a parent or a caregiver.
Well, I don't think every single person that went to this child care facility was not necessarily paying something out of pocket. So that's not entirely true. This childcare facility may have had some people where some of it was paid or all of it was paid, or maybe none of it for certain children were paid based on who the parents were.
But the point is that the record is not clear as to how spots are reserved or what happens when a child doesn't attend or circumstances change. There's just nothing in the record about that.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I would.
Did those children go to the childcare facility during this time? Do you know?
I do not know, and it's not in the record.
Why was that evidence not presented when it was obvious that that was the claim?
So it's because the county had to show that these spots were reserved. He failed to say that he wasn't working, and he was available to care for the children.
So you know what this looks like to us. I mean, this is a family with a lot of children. They have very limited means. It's the beginning of the pandemic. It's a very challenging circumstance. Mm-hmm. And they're coming in now saying, you're making us pay for it when we didn't even use the facility. And that's a real drain on us. That's really what's going on here. And knowing all of that, and you knew it at the time, maybe not you, but your colleagues knew it who were presenting this. Why was that evidence just not presented to the decision maker?
Your Honor, I couldn't tell you why it wasn't. It's just that it wasn't legally required. I don't doubt at all.
Why do you say it wasn't legally required? I mean, would you agree that the agency had the burden of persuasion to show that the family benefited by causing the family to pay less for child care expenses than the family otherwise would have been required to pay under the program?
I agree with that, but I don't believe showing their attendance is the only way to prove that.
Okay, and what would be other ways to show that the family benefited in a way that meets the standard under
sure.
the statute?
It's because the payments were made based on the children having a spot, and the father was available to take care of them and didn't notify the proper authority that he was not working. So he benefited because he didn't have to incur the bill. The state or the county was paying the bill while he was not working because he did not properly report.
So in your view, is the fact that he didn't properly report, which is undisputed, along with the evidence that payments were made to the facility, sufficient to show that the family benefited?
Correct, because the payments were made on behalf of the children holding their spots.
How do we know they were made holding their spots? Simply because they were made and their names are associated with it?
Right, because no other child could take that spot. So it's not like they would have to hold those spots for those children.
Well,
and it's not a come and go as you please kind of daycare.
Well, I'm not sure we have that in the record, but what about appellant's argument that if the children hadn't been there for 10 days, the county wouldn't pay for their spot, and both the January to the beginning of March period and the later March to early May period were more than 10 days, and yet you're arguing that payments during that period are enough to show that the family benefited. So why was the county still paying if it went on for more than 10 days and the children weren't there?
Your Honor, this is my first time.
I mean, in theory, they may not have been there, I guess.
Right. We don't know whether or not they were there or not because I think the record is just blank on whether they were there.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of the 10 days wasn't briefed, and I'll be honest, I am not familiar with that specific policy, and I don't want to answer questions if I don't know for sure if I'm saying what the rules are or not.
If that is the rule, who has the burden of showing that, do you think?
So I think that even if there was a law or a rule that said that the county will stop paying by this day, under Minnesota Statutes 111B.11 subdivision 2A, I think there would still be a benefit given to the children or the family. And it's not something that necessarily that the provider would have to pay back because those spots are still being held. That's why they're being billed.
I mean, you've said a number of times now the spots are still being held. I'm really struggling with that because I don't know if that's a fact that is supported by substantial evidence in the record. Who said that? Who testified to that? Or was there a policy that was put in the record?
I don't think that there was. I think the issue is the payments were being made because he didn't report his income and he was available to care for his children. So he caused the overpayment. And the payments were being made because it was assumed that those spots were being held. I agree there are problems with the record. I think that everyone in the room that was creating this record was too familiar with the program and should have articulated it more because you never know when you're going to the Court of Appeals and they usually don't.
But isn't the burden on the agency to show that the family benefited by causing them to pay less? So what evidence shows that how much less did the family pay than they should have paid during the relevant time periods, and what evidence shows that?
Yeah, well, that was broken down actually really well on an Excel spreadsheet that was offered by the county and then cited in multiple DHS judges and then the district court's order.
Well, I know there's a chart showing the weekly payment, but I guess there's a distinction there between how much less they should have paid. I didn't see that clearly articulated.
Well, the overpayment is...
So you're saying they would have gotten zero.
Right. Because they shouldn't have been enrolled there because he should have reported his employment, and he did not. So this is the amount that the family would have been responsible for by not telling the proper authority that his children shouldn't be there because he was available to take care of them.
And under what statute would they be ineligible because he was available to care for them?
I can't tell you, Your Honor.
Can you point me to anywhere in the record where it shows payments were made in from January 20th to March 1, the first time period?
In the record, I guess I thought that it was all, they were all provided in spreadsheets by the county.
Well, I guess
Yeah. You
are here defending the county's
Yes. Decision,
so I'm asking you if you can point me to where in the record it shows that payments were made from January 20 to March 1, because I do see a reflection in the record where payments were made in March. I think that's at D2 at 179, March to May, but I don't recall seeing anything for the January time period.
Your Honor, I believe that when I was going through the record, there were multiple Excel spreadsheets offered to the district court for that time period, and it's also reflected in the district court's order. So I know that she must have been referring to something very specific, because on page 4 of the district court's order, she gives the exact timelines and the payments, and I do recall seeing multiple charts that were offered by the county explaining the timelines and the overpayments.
But is that based on the weekly amount that they were entitled to, or evidence of an actual payment? I guess that's where I'm not sure the record is entirely clear.
So that is the amount that was paid,
okay.
And because he was available to care for them, that all is the overpayment, because they should not have been enrolled in this state program during that time.
Okay, I'll go back and look for that. Thank you.
What is the standard of proof here on the appeal as to who has the burden?
Well, on appeal, the appellant has to show that there was, I can quote that to you, Your Honor. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a standard of proof because we're in an appellate phase now. But it is on the appellant to show that there was an error. And then there are six ways to show that there were errors based on Minnesota Statute Section 14.69. And I also want to point out the fact that there is case law that says even when there is room for two opinions on a matter, an agency's decision is not arbitrary and capricious, even though the court may believe that an erroneous conclusion was reached. So I am arguing that based on what the law says, that the district court's order must be affirmed. I'm not saying that the district court couldn't have done something else and also been affirmed. It's just that what she did was not in violation of the law or arbitrary and capricious.
Well, isn't our review really of the DHS order and whether there's substantial evidence to support that order?
You would look to see if it's unsupported by substantial evidence. So,
right.
Yes.
Thank you for that clarification.
Your Honor, the county asks the court to affirm the district court's order. Thank you.
Thank you. Any rebuttal?
May I please the court, Your Honor? I don't have any rebuttal.
I have a question. Assume that there's no payment required after 10 days. For the 9 days, wouldn't there still be a benefit?
Well, there could be if there was attendance and it was properly billed, but we just don't know that.
But if they held the spot and they didn't attend for...
I'm not sure about holding the spot either, because was the child care center completely full? That might matter. Yeah.
Well, if they're paying for money to the child care center for these children, why isn't that evidence that the child care center was holding a spot for the children? I mean, the payments have specific names associated with them. It's not just a lump sum payment to the child care center. You can see that in the payment record.
I just don't think we can assume any facts that aren't in the record. And if there was no testimony that there was a spot being held and that the payments made to them conveyed that benefit, it would need to appear in the record. But I also think, for example, that payment, let's say a child has chicken pox and they're out for 14 days, or COVID, and they're out for 2 weeks. I think that even though they would miss for 10 consecutive days, and after that they wouldn't pay, that doesn't also mean that they would lose their spot. And so I don't think it's the actual payment.
But why would they be paying for a child if the child didn't have a spot there? I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. I understand your point, but I'm asking, I think, a different question.
I don't know. And, yeah, and maybe they did have a spot, but I don't. First of all, it wasn't the record, and second, I believe it's the benefit is not the holding of the spot, but it is the services being provided, and not having to pay full price for those services.
I mean, if we state that differently, could we say that there's no evidence in the record that the facility did not fill those spots with other children, or it actually held those spots for the children, that the payments did not, you know, that there's no evidence that the payments actually resulted in the facility being unable to get other children to be there? I mean, I'm trying to understand, like, what the function of the payments are.
Again, I just think the function of the payments are to compensate the provider for the services provided. And if the center isn't full, there's really no benefit, because that resource for that particular center isn't scarce, because there's open spots. Now, if it was a high density location and there was a waiting list and people tried to get in, then I think that spot being held for the Hersey family might be argued to be a benefit, but I just don't think that applies here. And the record doesn't show it.
Do you agree that there's no evidence that the children were unenrolled?
In other words, no longer
that the children were eligible. No longer enrolled at that particular facility during the relevant time periods?
Yeah, I don't think there was anything in the record that showed that they were unenrolled.
There just isn't evidence either way.
It's just
whether they attended or not.
Yeah, yes.
But there is evidence of payments. You agree with that?
Yes. Okay. But I also think that there could have been payments made, but it should be Anoka County's burden to show that those payments were properly made. Because if the payments were improperly made, then they should ask the child care provider to give that money back. Again, if the Hersey family was if they had attended those days, I think it's easy. We just don't know if they attended. Thank you.
So if we agree with you, would we reverse and remand to the agency or just reverse?
I'd ask just to reverse.
Thank you. All right, thank you to both counsel for your arguments here today. The matter is submitted, and we will issue our decision within the statutory time frame.